to refine these wisdoms and practices in our own traditions, because they're there. And if we don't, then we will go into a disintegrative state, because the material, physical way of looking at the world and enacting with the world does not create happiness and harmony and health.
Greetings, gracious viewers. On last week's program, respected anthropologist Peter Gold guided us through an exploration of the ancient traditions and wisdoms of the people who have lived in the Canyon de Shelly in the southwest state of Arizona, USA. Today, Mr. Gold will continue to share his expertise on the wisdom of indigenous tribes ranging from the Americas to beyond in Asia.
Ask you about living structures of the native peoples as well, because there's a new thing with sustainable architecture and all of that, but really they're just very ancient building techniques that the native peoples have known about for thousands and thousands of years.
Well, living in a Hogan is living in the cosmos, because Hogan, Ho, is a article in the Navajo language, which means the ultimate extended environment or the cosmos at large, and Han means home. So it's cosmic home, and it is actually set up geomantically, so feng shui wise. For example, I live in a traditional log Hogan, which was consecrated by a medicine man, and the doorway in Hogans always face toward where the dawn's light rises, and then when the Navajo holds ceremonies in the Hogan, they always walk clockwise around the fire, the stove, which is the center of the Hogan, because that's the way the sun, moon, and stars revolve in the sky, except for the North Star and the constellations around it. They revolve counterclockwise. So the Navajo are recreating in their actions within the Hogan, and then different activities which take place in the Hogan are connected to different quadrants of the day and the seasons. So therefore, the Hogan is a reflection of the universe at large, and it is the union of earth and sky. The floor is the earth, and the stovepipe leads into the smoke hole, which is the sky realm. Native peoples have known since the beginning of humanity that the horizon was round, and whether or not the earth was round was irrelevant. But they saw the roundness as the natural structure of nature. There's a famous quote from Black Elk, the great Lakota medicine man of the 19th and early 20th century. He says, "Everything. Have you noticed?" He says, "Everything in the world is round. Birds build their nests in the round. The flowers are round. Everything is round. And so too were our teepees. They were round, the floor plan of the teepee, because we live in the world. So naturally, the circle sees around often. So the circle is the natural form. So people mimic that. But also, because if you have an eight-sided log Hogan, it's round in perception. But the cardinal directions and the semi-cardinal directions all have meaning, and this is the way it is in all cultures around the world. So you're living in a sacred center, one could say.
Living simple lifestyles in harmony with nature, indigenous people are perhaps more in tune with the universal laws of nature, wherever they may reside in the world.
In both East and West, in the sense of West being the Native American West, there is a very clear-cut understanding about responsibility and reciprocity and relationship. It goes by different names. Now, the most commonly known name to us is from the Sanskrit, and that is karma. So this is the law of cause and effect, which is understood by people throughout the Eastern Hemisphere, that you, by your own actions, thoughts, and words, create effects. And so you must take responsibility for those actions, expressions, and even your thoughts, because they create results. As a result, you modify the way you think and act so that you create results which are harmonious to both yourself, to your community and family. This is the law of karma, and it's very strongly understood in the East.
Native people of the West also share a similar understanding of the concept of karma.
Well, among the Navajo people, they have a concept which is eh. That's how it's pronounced. Eh. Eh means relationship in its deepest and widest sense. We are all relations. We are all relatives. As a result, any of our actions or our words must be uttered cognizant of the effect that they will have. So we hold deep responsibility for our own presence in the world. And we must honor that and that of other people. So this sense of eh, or responsibility and relationship, is very strong among the Navajo, as it is among other native peoples throughout the world. So karma is well understood here in Native America.
You're watching A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms on Supreme Master Television. We'll be right back after these brief messages with more fascinating knowledge of indigenous peoples.
Peoples or polytheistic peoples, such as the Navajo or Tibetan Buddhists, for example, recognize that the Buddha or the Navajo call the ultimate state beauty, the state of cosmic beauty, or if you want to call it Buddha nature, is in all things, is in all phenomena, just in varying degrees, in different kinds.
Welcome back to today's A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms. Today we are hearing more about the wisdom that Native people of the Americas share in common with the spiritual Tibetans from Mr. Peter Gold, a respected anthropologist. In his book titled, Navajo and Tibetan Sacred Wisdom, The Circle of the Spirit, Mr. Gold wrote, Tibetan and Navajo life is a process of constant rebalancing and perfecting one's actions, expressions, and thoughts into an ideal state as befits each culture's ultimate role models. Both groups see the process of living as a spiritual journey, an individual and communal effort to develop each person into the best version of him or herself in the company of like-minded people dedicated to the integration of matter and spirit.
The spiritual dimension is uncannily similar, the way it manifests on both sides of the earth, because you can't go any farther away from the Navajo and Tibetans without coming back. In other words, they're literally on opposite sides of the earth, same latitude and almost identical longitude, living on high plateaus in their respective parts of the world. But what they have done is they have preserved the basic teachings of spirituality and living that spirituality intact. And as they went through their own histories, through the centuries and millennia, they adopted and adapted different philosophies and practices from their neighbors. But they adopted these into their own indigenous paradigm, their indigenous way of thinking and living, made it their own.
Nestled in the majestic and holy Himalayan mountains, the Tibetan people have lived for centuries in solitude and union with their environment. On the other side of the world, Native American tribes have a deep respect for sacred Mother Earth and nature. Although geographically distant, these indigenous peoples are spiritually near.
Both mandalas and both traditions begin in the east, which is where the dawn's light arises, where the eastern quadrant is the beginning of one's lifetime, the beginning of the season, cycle of the seasons. And so when you think in that way and you then transfer that into your art looks very similar. Mm-hmm. And it operates in the same way, because they're working on natural time and natural law instead of man-made law.
The term mandala has its roots from Hinduism and is a concentric diagram that is spiritually and ritually important to several cultures.
The mandala, the sacred circle with four sections, four directions. The self and cosmos. There is no separation between self and cosmos in the mindset of the Navajo and the Tibetans. We all interpenetrate with the cosmos at large. And the mandala is the map of our inner workings, our inner reality, our inner constituents, and the quadrants of our lifetime and the seasons, etc., and therefore the outer world. And in both traditions, the code of the mandala is not only identical in its essentials, but where it shifts and changes, it changes in the same way, the way they encode it for power or for harmony or for peacefulness. There are many different ways you can actually create the code of the mandala, the colors and the meaning of the four directions. And in both traditions, when you have a powerful, energetic encoding, the colors shift in the same way.
Aside from their physical similarities and common uses of colors in jewelry and art, the Tibetan and Navajo peoples find a bond through their sacred beliefs.
In both traditions, you have a very effective initiation ceremonies, practices for incorporating this into your daily practice of living. And also, in both traditions, they talk about how if you haven't incorporated these first three wisdoms, that is, of your connection to the sacred world, your connection to earth and sky, outside and within, and then the mandala view of yourself at the center of an ever-shifting and changing world. If you don't incorporate these wisdoms into your life, then you will become ill. You will become unhealthy, unwhole, unhealed, unholy. And so you have to restore to such spiritual and therefore physical health. And so both traditions have very effective psycho-spiritual healing practices which incorporate all these other understandings. Some people say that the concept of compassion came to Asia through the Buddha, which is absolutely correct. But compassion was already there. In the other traditions, compassion was already there in every spiritual tradition, every intact spiritual tradition which recognized its connection with the universe at large and the universe within. So it's not that that it's exclusive to indigenous peoples or to Asian peoples, but the idea is that we must look at our relationship to the world in a whole manner of compassion and of responsibility. And this is what people such as the Tibetans and the Navajos have central to their way of living and thinking.
Through the study of such native peoples and their sacred truths, we see that it is truly as the motto of Mr. Gold's Ancient Ways Project states, in the wisdom of the past lies the hope of the future. Thank you for joining us on today's A Journey Through Ascetic Realms. Coming up next is our noble lineage after noteworthy news here on Supreme Master Television. May the spirit of truth and love shine in your heart.
For more details, please visit www.SupremeMasterTV.com/AJAR.